ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Makos is dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shmuley Katz Le'ilu Nishmas Yisrael Ben Ted Ben Yehuda Aryeh.
Masechta Makos Daf Chof. The Gemara brings down at the beginning of the Omud regarding the din of Ma'aser Sheni, that you're only chai of Malkus for the loisasei of eating it outside Yishalayim, if it had already been roya p'nei choymo, that means it had already entered into Yishalayim and then was taken out, and only then does it trigger the loisasei for eating the Ma'aser Sheni outside. The Gemara brings down that this applies not only if the Ma'aser Sheni had already been actively behufrash and actively declared Ma'aser Sheni, but even if it was Ailinu b'tevlai hu va'afki, even if the person had brought the Ma'aser Sheni in as tevel before it was declared Ma'aser Sheni. He brought it in as tevel, took it out, declared it as Ma'aser Sheni, but if a whole like the Manda Omar, which the Gemara says in Rav Yosi, that Matonis shaloi hurmu k'mi shahurmu domi, which is a shiloh throughout Shas, that Matonis matnis kohono or other hafroshois, which have not yet been actively hurmu, and not yet been actively hufrash, but they're destined, they're osid to be hufrash, it's as if they're hurmu already, shaloi hurmu k'mi shahurmu domi, then over here also it would be sufficient for this case where the Ma'aser Sheni was Ailinu b'tevlai, who was brought in to the Yerushalayim while it was still tevel. Nonetheless, that's called that it was roya p'nei choymo. You take it out, you mafresh the Ma'aser Sheni, and you're going to get malchus for eating it outside of Yerushalayim. So that's the tradition of the Gemara to apply the din of matnas shaloi humu k'mishu humu domi, according to the man d'omar who holds of it, to apply it to this din of Ma'aser Sheni, the only chayev for eating it outside Yerushalayim, for was roya p'nei choymo. Now Shmuel Lozovsky over here notes, and he brings in that the Achiezer discusses this point, that this seems to be a difficult and somewhat shverer application of the rule of matnas shaloi humu k'mishu humu domi. In order to point this out, Shmuel Lozovsky brings down the Yesoidistic Kesef Mishnah, and when I apply the rule of matnas shaloi humu. Let me just say over, just for a moment, a classic case, paskin in Rambam, because the Rambam does generally paskin matnas shaloi humu k'mishu humu domi. A classic scenario of where I hold matanish lehumu kevishahumu. The Rambam brings in Hilchus Ishus, the following case, that you have somebody who is a Yisroel who yarshind tevel from his avi'i moikoyhein. So it's tevel, it's not yet been hufrash yet. Now, if it had already been hufrash, shumus amaisris, and the koyhein already owns it, the koyhein is allowed to keep it for himself. He doesn't have to give it to somebody else, he can keep it. But in this case, it was still tevel. He dies, and his enikel, who's a Yisroel, who's a daughter's son, who's a Yisroel, yarshins it from him, and the halacha is that that enikel, that grandchild, has a momnistika ownership over the matnas kahuna. He's mafresh them, and he keeps them, or he could sell them. He doesn't have to give them away because he gets the mumnistik eschus from his Zayda, who was a Kayan who passed away, despite the fact that it was loy hormu at the time of the passing of the Zayda. He had not yet mafresh it. Nonetheless, we pass him on the humu kamisha hormu, and therefore, the same way the Zayda already had a mumnistik acquisition, a mumnistik eschus in the matanisha loy hormu, in the potential, the asidus of the trumas that was going to be hufrash from there, even he wasn't yet mafresh it, and he gives over with his death that mumnistik eschus to his enikel, his grandchild, who yarshins it. That's a classic example of matanis shaloi hormu k'mishu hormu domi. The Kesef Mishnah brings down a kash on the Rambam, and the Rambam paskins matanis shaloi hormu k'mishu hormu domi. So why does the Rambam paskin elsewhere in Hilchas Ma'aser Sheni that Ma'aser Sheni the Rambam paskins momo gavoyahu? Okay, that's a shaila in the Gemara. We paskin that Ma'aser Sheni is considered to be, so to speak, owned by the Almighty. It doesn't, you don't have a mumnistik ownership over it, and therefore the you can't give it away as a matana because it's not yours to give away. Elohim Cain said the Rambam Nosan Loy Tevel. Unless he gave it when it was still Tevel and the Makaba was the one who was mafris the Ma'aser Sheni, the recipient designated the Ma'aser Sheni, then you could because it was still Tevel when he gave it away and it wasn't yet Chal the Shem Ma'aser Sheni. And in this, because the Mishnah brings on the big, big kasha, that Lechoyer, since the Rambam Paskins Matana Shalahomu can be Shahormu Dami, that the destiny, the Asidus, that it's going to be Hufresh, it's like it's already Hufresh, so why don't you say that it already has a problem with Ma'aser Sheni Momon Gavoya even prior to being actually Hufrash because it's destined to being designated and it's Kemi Shahor Mulachaira, and how could it be that you could give it away, the Rambam says, while it's still Teva? Why don't you say it's Kemi Shahor Mul, it's already, so to speak, owned Momon Gavoya by the Almighty and you can't give it away? This is the big, big kasha that the Gezer Mishnah asks, and he brings down on this thing a teretz from the Re-Korkus. Now the Re-Korkus said, the somewhat Bekitzer Dike answer, and the Re-Korkus said that Ma'aser Sheni
Mamon Gavoya does not lend itself to this rule of Kamisha Hurum Udami. Why? Because you need an active Huram, actively designated, and it should be actively Chal Alei Shem Meiser, because the Zinam Mamon Gavoya is learned out of the Pasuk of Lashem Hu, and that Pasuk of Lashem Hu is written in the Torah, Benegea to a case of after it's already been Huram. Okra, Acha Shehuram, Venikra Meiser Mashma. The implication of the Pasuk of Lashem is that it's in a context of the person already was Meirim it, and already after he was Mafrish, and therefore the Rekorkus says somewhat cryptically that the Dinam Meiser Shem Mamon Gavoya, we won't apply to it the rule of Kamei Shehuram Dami, and it only gets the Shem Mamon Gavoya owned by the Almighty only after you're actively Mafrish. Now Shmuel Lozovsky says, and he says that this is the accepted understanding of the Rekorkus, is that it's not Stam some sort of Exeris HaKosiv that the Rekorkus is saying about Meiser Mamon Gavoya, but rather that there is actually a Yosaidiyistik and a Kuda, a Yosaid, that the Rekorkus is bringing out. There's a Yosaid, and then there's you have to still through and apply correctly the Yosaid to Meiser Shem Mamon Gavoya. The Yosaid is that Meiser Shem, that the din of a Matana Shaloi Hormu, Kimi Shahormu, definitely does not mean they're going to treat any Asidustik, any future Hafrosha that's coming out of this Tevel as if it's there already. That would be just impossible to say. You're not going to say all the dinim of Truma apply already to Tevel because I'm going to be destiny to separate Truma from it, all the dinim of Meister Sheni, and likewise, that wouldn't make any sense. Of course, the dinim of Truma only kick in after you mafresh it, and the dinim Isser of Truma that is around the Zohar to eat Truma, the Mashal, that certainly would only be Chal after you actively when mafresh it, that's Truma, that's for sure. Really be a Soidoi, says Shmuel Lozovsky, that then a Meister Sheni Gavoya, the way it's brought down in the Gemara, and generally in the Sugyas in the Gemara, the Rambam, and the Poiskim, is generally applicable to the din Mumnis on the Matanois. For example, like the example we gave before, the Rambam Paskins, that the Mumnus Dikaschus that you got, the Kohen will get when it's Hufrash, he can get even before the Horam, Matan Shal Horam, Goli Horam, Kamesh Horam, and therefore the Moshal, if the Kohen owns Tevel, he already has a Schus in the Truma of it, and if he dies before it's Hufrash, his Enikol, grandchild, who is even a Yisroel, will Yarshin that Schus on the Mumnus Dikaschus. So it's then in the Mumnus Dikaschus, Mashain Kain, the Isurim outcomes of being Truma, of being Ma'aser Sheni, and likewise, those Isser outcomes are only generated by the act of Hafrosha. It doesn't make any sense to say that Lo Hurim Kamisha Hurim, and therefore you already have the Isurim of Truma, the Isurim of Ma'aser Sheni, and etc. Zalto Shulozovsky, and of us then, there's a Tzveiter Din, a second Shlav, a second step of this, which we have to also work out if you're talking about the Din of Ma'aser Sheni. Now, we know, the Rambam just said, that Ma'aser Sheni Mamon Gavoya only applies after you already were mafresh the Meiser Sheni, and we don't apply to it the din of Loi Horam Kamisha Horam Dami. Well, why don't I say that that's a mumnistika din? Whose mumnist is it? Does it belong to the Bailam? Does it belong to the Almighty? Does it belong to Gavaya? That sounds like a mumnistika din, and Mamela perhaps I should have applied to it the din of Matanash Loi Horam Kamisha Horam Dami. Why does Ram say I don't apply it? Zokt of them, the Rishon Lovavsky? No. He says it's a very big difference between the mumnistika koyach that a Kohen has, Lamosha on Chuma, and the mumnistika din of Mamma Gavaya that's Chal on Meiser Sheni. The difference is that the din of Momnois, that the Gavoya, that the Almighty has a bailus on the Meiser Sheni, is a direct outcome from the Shem Isser of Meiser Sheni. Because it was Nikra Lashem, because it was Chalan Lashem of being Lashem Hu, like the Rambam brings on the Pasuk, Lashem Hu, so Meila, as a second step of that, as a corollary, it's Chalan and the din Momnois. Because the Momnois is an outcome of the din Isser of the Meiser Sheni, therefore Avada is not going to apply. Then the Mumnus won't kick in, the Mamon Gavoya won't kick in until you have the Isser Shem of Ma'aser Sheni, which only is Chal after your Mafresh. And that's what the Rambam is saying, that Ma'aser Sheni and Mamon Gavoya only applies after your Mafresh. Ma'ashein came by Truma, Zokter of Shmuel Zofsky, a big Yisoid. He says that we know that Truma is Mamon Ashevet, it's called Mamon Koyanim. The Truma belonged to the Koyanim, it belonged to the collective of the Koyanim, and then when the Bailam has a right, he gives it to a specific Koyan, then it belonged to that Koyan. Then Mamon Dika Koyach, that monetary halacha that's Chal on Truma, is independent of the din Isser. There are two independent and distinct dinim that the Torah emplaces upon Truma. One that it has an Isser, it's Asa to Azor, etc. And the other that it's Mamon Kohen, that the Kohenim have a financial right, first collectively and then specifically, one Kohen will get it. That's an independent din from the Isser. That's why, by Truma specifically, I'm able to say that, for example, that the din of Bailus that the Kohen has is Chal, even Ad Shalei Horam, Kamisha Horam, that din is sufficient, that Mamon Kohen will get a Mamnus to get Koyach, Mashiach even before it's actively designated because it's omed, it's destined to be designated, even though the Isser halachas of the Truma are going to wait until I'm actively mafresh it. So this is the big yesoid that the din of Matan Shluyum Kamisha Huram generally only applies to Mumnis, and it applies to cases like Truma, as we said, where the Mumnis Tikadin, the monetary halacha that Kayanim have a koach on Truma, is independent of the Isser Tikadin of Truma. With all that, Shlomo Zavsky points out, and he says that the Achiezer of Chaim Moshe Grudzinski asked this kasha, that Al Gemara seems to be totally out of place when it applies the din of Matanish Koloi Huram Kamisha Huram to a case which seems to be an outright scenario of Isser. It's applying it to Maisa Sheni, then again to the question of whether it's Roya Pnei Choyma, and that you should get a Malkus and a Lois HaSegomer and a Malkus when you eat it outside of the Choyma of Yerushalayim, so that I have to have Roya Pnei Choyma. And we're saying even that it was went in B'Tivlayu, Ailina B'Tivlayu, it will be sufficient to fulfill that condition of Roya Pnei Choyma when it has Tevel, and the whole Kamish Hurim Dummy. That's a straight at Isra Halacha, and the Chaura we should not be able to apply to it the rule of Matanish Lehurim Kamish Hurim. And Shlomo Zavsky bring down this Kasha, and he just Seichen Suiv Mitzayin to look on the Achiezer on this question of Chaim Moizer. Now, Chaim Moizer answers this question straight out. He brings down the Kesef Mishnah, he brings down the Gemara here, and he asks this Kasha, and he says a somewhat cryptic answer, but basically, in essence, Chaim Moizer answers the Kasha by saying there's a fundamental difference between the Isser that we're talking about in our Gemara, about Maiser Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and the Din Isser of Truma, for example, the Zohar can't eat Truma, or the like. Those Dinim, for example, that a Zohar can't eat Truma, is absolutely clear, and that's the clear rule, that they're only Chal after you actively designated as Truma. It has to actively be Truma, and then it gets the Isra of Truma, for example, for a Zohar to eat it. That's for sure. However, over here, Zot of Chaim Moizer, we're not discussing a din, the din of Roya Pnei Choyma, that Maiser Sheni will only be Chayav if he eat it out to Yerushalayim, was Roya Pnei Choyma. That din Roya Pnei Choyma is not an outcome, a product of the din of Maiser Sheni. It's really a tznai, a condition in the Seder of the Havo of Maiser Sheni to Yerushalayim. That's to say, although we know that there is a Lois HaSei to Maiser Sheni out to Yerushalayim, the Lois HaSei is only triggered by having a particular step in the Seder of Havo having been done. You have to have fulfilled a particular step. What's the step? You have to have put it into Yerushalayim. That's a tznai in the triggering of the din of the Lois HaSei of eating Maiser Sheni out to the Choyma. Since it's only a fulfillment of a tznai, therefore, says Rav Chaim Moizer, the Gemara is saying that for that is sufficient that it's destined to be designated as Maiser Sheni, even if it's Tel Teva right now, it does not have to be actively already designated, already Huram, as Maiser Sheni. In other words, what emerges from Rav Chaim Moizer, from the Achiezer, is an important idea, is that we're not going to say, we are not going to say that there's some kind of absolute klal that Matana Shlohumu Kami Shohurmu only applies to the Mumnistika Koyach, like we said before about the grandchild who Yarshins the Tevel from the Zayda, who's a Kayan. It's not only within a financial laws. Clearly, Al Gemara applies it outside the context of financial laws. However, what we are saying is that the din of Matan Shluhum Kamisha Huram cannot be applied to those Dine Isser, which are direct outcome of the designation as Truma, of the designation of some other Hafrasha. Those Dine that are direct, those Dine Isser, the direct outcome of the Hafrasha, have to wait on the Hafrasha. In our Sugya, however, we were not talking about a din which is a direct outcome of the Hafrasha. We're just saying that in order for the din of Lois HaSei to be Chal on Maaser Sheni, Lois HaSei to eat out of the Choyma, it has to have a certain Tanai, her condition already been fulfilled. It has to have brought into the Choyma Yerushalayim. So since that's just a condition, Bialma, it has to have been fulfilled. For that, sufficient that it was fulfilled at a time when it was Tevel, but it was destined to be designated as Maaser Sheni. Rav Chaim Moizer brings a smach for this from the Ritvo here. To be sure, the Ritvo is very cryptic and doesn't say all this stuff beforehand, but the Ritvo writes in a somewhat cryptic manner that the din in our Gemara that Matna Shaluhurim Kamisha Huram could trigger the din of Roya Pnei Choyma Amaiser Sheni is a din because that's a chumra. It's a chumra rather than a kula. Of course, it's a chumra that you're going to get malchus if you're going to eat it outside the Choyma Yerushalayim from here on and in. So since it's a chumra, therefore Matna Shaluhurim Kamisha Huram could trigger that. Rav Chaim Moizer says that on the face of it, superficially read, this Ritvo makes no sense. Is the Ritvo really telling me that Matna Shaluhurim Kamisha Huram only applies to chumras? If it would, it would never be able to apply to finances, because financial law by definition doesn't have chumras. But if it's a chumra for one person, it's a kula for the other party. So we just said that throughout Shas, generally speaking, we do apply Matan Shluhim Kamishurim with the financial law. Like we gave an example, the grandchild inherits Tevel from his Zayda, who's a Kayan. It wasn't Huram yet, but it's Kamisha Huram, and therefore the grandchild inherits a monetary right in the chumra that's destined to be Hufrash. That is a financial law. It's not a chumra. What kind of chumra is it? If anything, it's a leniency, or if it's a right that the grandchild grandchild acquires. How could the Ritva say that Kamishahurim only applies to Chumris? Such a Chaim Moizer, Avandar Ritva didn't mean that that's a ubiquitous umbrella rule in Kamishahurim that only applies to Chumris. Of course not. Now, in monetary law, it applies straight out. It determines who the man has the monetary rights, regardless of Chumra or Kula. However, in our Gemara, we're not talking about monetary law. We're talking about a unique halacha where, since I'm just dealing with the Tanai and the Seder, Havos Maiser Sheni, that condition has to have been met, it has to already have been brought to Yerushalayim, and only then do we trigger the din of the Lois HaSei. So Natar is saying that that kind of din, which is in a somewhat gray area to determine whether this din of this triggering the Lois HaSei of eating outside the wall Yerushalayim, is that a din which is going to be based on the active Hafroshas Maiser Sheni, or is sufficient that it was destined to be Hofresh? And that was saying that to trigger it L'chumra, and L'chumra doesn't just mean that we're machin based on a suffix, of course not. It's not a question of being machin based on a doubt. What we're saying is that we give it the strict din, the strict reading. We're saying that the destiny to be Horam is sufficient, even if it went as Tevel, and therefore, consequently, you're actually going to get Malkus later on, where if you're going to eat it outside the Choyma, and there the Ritva says that it's not completely clear how to determine whether Hoshlihurim Kamishurim will apply to a case like this one. But we're saying the Gemara was Kimlahu, the Gemara was familiar, that to say it, to apply a strictness halacha to it, to apply a Lois HaSei and a Malkus to eating outside the Choyma, they're going to say that it's sufficient that it went in to the walls of Yerushalayim, b'tivlayu, based on the Nefkamisha Horam Domi. Later on the Omud, before the Mishnah, the Gemara brings down the Chiddush of Ravina. Ravina Omar, he's going to knock at Bekanya, v'tiv shoyt boy de Rav Papa. Now, since we're going to be mentioning a machloikah between the Rivon and Toisvis and Ravina, let us take out a moment to mention that from here on in Masech Demakas, we won't be learning any more Rashis, we'll be learning Rivon. As you know, the Rivon was the son-in-law of Rashi, and Rashi, as you have actually a notation that's written right within the Rashi on your Testament Beis in the previous Omud, so it says that Rashi passed away, was Nifter, apparently towards the end of Makkas. It seems that Rashi was writing different things at once. He seems to have left more than one place in Shas unfinished, and one of them was Makkas. Rashi was Nifter towards the end of Makkas, and the last few Dafim were supplemented by the Rivon. So from here on, we're going to be discussing Rivons, and the Machloikas Rivon and Toisis in this Suya. So let's just take it a moment here. Ravina, it says, going to knock at Lebekanya. In other words, like this. We are discussing scenarios in which we would apply the rule that the Maiser Sheni is going to be chayiv if you eat it out to Yerushalayim, because it was Re'ah Pnei Choyma, because he already took it inside the walls of Yerushalayim. We want to find a case where it's a Chiddush, and Ravina has a case where it's a Chiddush, which is like this, that the individual already himself went in his guf, the body of the person who walked into Yerushalayim itself, and he's in Yerushalayim. However, he's carrying the Maiser Sheni behind him on a big stick, reaching out behind him, and the Maiser Sheni is tied to the end of the big stick, so the Maiser Sheni itself has not yet entered into the walls of Yerushalayim. The individual's guf is within the walls of Yerushalayim. The Maiser Sheni is not yet within the walls, and the Maiser Sheni is considered ancillary to the guf of the person, and therefore, consequently, it's considered as if the Maiser Sheni has also entered the Yerushalayim, and therefore the Lois HaSei of eating outside the Yerushalayim is triggered. That's called Nokat Lebekanya, and we're being poishet. The Gemara says the boy, the Rav Papa had a Shaila, a very similar, the same case with a similar din, and the previous Amud on your Testament Beis. Rav Papa's question, Grata, was a person is Nokat Lebekanya and enters the walls of Yerushalayim, and the Maiser Sheni is still stuck out on the stick outside Yerushalayim. And the question is, am I still able to poida that Maiser Sheni, redeem it onto cash, or do I say that it's considered to have entered Yerushalayim and can no longer be redeemed onto cash? So it's a somewhat different din, but it's a fundamentally same question, and Avinah is being pushed at the border of Papa, the way that Yvonne and the Tais explain over here. He is saying that we are going to say that you are considered that the Maiser Sheni as well entered into Yerushalayim, just like the person, and therefore consequently it's considered within Yerushalayim, and you get a lois say if you're going to eat that Maiser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. That's how the Rivon and Tosis explain. However, the Marshal over here points out that there does appear, from the clear implication of the words of the Rivon compared to the words of Tosis, that there is a big machloikis here between the Rivon and Tosis. Rivon says clearly that the din of Maiser Sheni with getting a lois hasei if he out to the choyma will be triggered in this case if hadar archeke va'achle, the person will subsequently go back outside of Yerushalayim and eat it over there. Tosheis says meduyik in the Rivon that if the individual will not go back outside of Yerushalayim and eat it over there, it will not be any kind of an issur to eat Maiser Sheni outside the choyma. The marshal, for example, let's say the Maiser Sheni is the gate in state right now. The person who's holding the Maiser Sheni is standing inside the walls. The Maaseh Sheni is on a stick outside the walls, and somebody eats the Maaseh Sheni right there, exactly the way that it's located, which geographically it's located outside the Yerushalayim. The Mashal is Medayik that the Rivon held is no problem. It's considered to be within Yerushalayim because it's ancillary to the person who's holding it, and therefore there's no issur to eat it out at that exact matzav, in that exact circumstance. That's why the Rivon said only the Lois HaSeh will be triggered if it will be Hodar Achek Eva Achle, if you'll step back outside Yerushalayim. That's a big chiddush, because according to this, it comes out that the Rivon held that even the Maaseh Sheni has technically, geographically, never entered Yerushalayim in itself. Nonetheless, it's sufficient that the person holding it entered Yerushalayim, Maaseh Sheni is ancillary to the person, and therefore you could actually eat it right now the way it is. Taisus, however, clearly says otherwise, and the Mashal points this out, because Taisus says that if you eat it in Mekoimoy, you're going to be over on the Lois HaSeh. In other words, that you don't have to have step back out, even if the person is holding it exactly the way he's standing inside Yerushalayim. The Maaseh Sheni on the one hand is considered to have entered Yerushalayim legabe the din of roya pnei choymo, and therefore we actively trigger the lois haseh that is triggered by roya pnei choymo, and there'll be a malchus if you'll eat it. But you'll eat it even if you eat it without stepping backwards, without taking it further outward outside the walls. You eat it right now the way it is now. Somebody eats it the way it is, held by the individual that's standing inside the choymo, bim choymo, like Taisus says, you're still going to get the lois haseh because you have no right to eat it because it has never geographically, technically entered within the confines of Yerushalayim itself. So the Mashal says this is a big machloikis between the Rivon and the Tosis. Now what is the fundamental underlying concept that distinguishes between the Rivon's approach here and Tosis's approach? Both of them are agreeing as far as the trigger halacha has to be roya pnei choyma to trigger the lois haseh, that was triggered because the person who was holding it on the kanya, he was within, and that's good enough that the lois haseh is triggered. But they disagree, however, with regard to whether it's muta to eat the Maaseh Sheni right now in that matzav, because Tais evidently held that you can't eat Maaseh Sheni unless it's actively, physically within the confines of Yerushalayim. What's the hezber of this shaila in the Rishonim? The Sefer Chavetzelos HaShoharim writes, the Haintik Sefer, that he says that it appears to be that the underlying concept is as follows. We know that the din of being able to eat Maaseh Sheni within the confines of Yerushalayim is a din in the Kedushas HaMokoyim of Yerushalayim. If, for example, the Pasuk in Re'eh speaks of Kiyam al HaMokoyim Asher Yivchar Hashem, it calls it the Mokoyim Asher Yivchar Hashem, that's Yerushalayim, so it says over there, Vaveisem Shom Oliseichem, etc., Maisrei Seichem, Trumas Yedchem, and Vachaltem Shom Yidr over there. So it's a din in the Mokoyim Asher Yivchar Hashem. I just want to add on my own that it's really Mavur Lehedya in the Mishnah, the first parak of Kalim, the Mishnah talks about Eser Kedushas Haim, the 10 steps of grades of Kedushas in Eretz Yisrael, and it speaks about Lamailamenu is Yerushalayim. It speaks about over there, lefnim and achoyma, that it's kodosh for the purpose of eating kochim kalam and maaseh sheni. Actually, it's mavur over the befeirish that the achil of maaseh sheni is a product of the kedushas hamokom of Yerushalayim. It's zokt of them the chavetzelos hashorin that lechayra simple logic according to that would appear to dictate that Tosis is pshat is correct. In other words, lechayra, although there may be there was a din havor and that was chal on the maaseh sheni with nokat lebekanya because it's ancillary to the person, and therefore there knows lagabi whether there was a maaseh havor into Yerushalayim that was done on it, we could say there was a Maaseh Havor that was done, because the person went into Yerushalayim, and the Nokat LeBekanya Maaseh Sheni, which is beheld outside behind them, is toffle to the person, ancillary to the person, so therefore I'll say it's as if the Havor was done on the Maaseh Sheni as well. That's fine, that's Lagabi whether it's Roya Pnei Choyma, whether a Havor was done into Yerushalayim. But Lagabi whether you're doing an Achila of Maaseh Sheni Besoich Yerushalayim, for that I have to ask whether the Maaseh Sheni is in a Mokum that has Kedushas Mokum of Yerushalayim, and of course it's not. The Mokum where it's located does not have a Kedushas Mokum of Yerushalayim. There was considered to be a Havor that was done, that was Chal on it, that it was considered to have been brought into Yerushalayim. We consider it to have been brought in, but the Maaseh it's not located within the Kedushas HaMokum, so how is it called? How do you have a Kedushas HaMokum to be able to eat Maaseh Sheni over there? The Tosis is quite logical and would appear to be correct in Rivon HaShver, because in order to be able to actively eat it there, I need a Kedushas HaMokum, which surely you don't have when it's the Maaseh located on a kanya, on a stick which is sticking outside of the wall. What taka is the pshat in the Rivon? Why does the Rivon hold you really could eat it in that matziv? Of them, the Chavetzelos HaShoharim suggests what really is a very big chiddush, that this is how he wants to learn. He says that actually the Rivon held that although it's 100% true that there is a din kedushas hamokim, and we mentioned before there's a mission in Kalim that speaks about this thing that l'mailei menu, one of the kedushos, one of the grades of kedushos that there are in Eretz Yisrael, is the kedushas hamokim of Yerushalayim, that it's kodesh with regard to eating kochim kalam and maaseh sheni. Nonetheless, the Chavetzelos HaShoharim Tain is that the Rivon learned that in order to be able to do an achilas ma'aser sheni, I don't have to determine that there's an active kedushas hamakom actively present in the makom ma'aser sheni is. All I need is for the ma'aser sheni to belong to an ear that the ear has a shem kedushas hamakom. The ma'aser it's considered to belong to Yishalayim because it was brought in. It had a din havua that was on it because it was nokat lebekanyu. It was brought into somebody who went into Yishalayim. That therefore, it so to speak, the ma'aser sheni belongs to the ear of Yishalayim. It's considered to have been a shayach to be ancillary to the ear of Yishalayim. So even though there's no active Kedushas HaMokim, geographically on the Mokim, Ma'aser Sheni is located, it doesn't matter. What we need a Kedushas HaMokim is on the ear. Yushalayim has to have a Shem that Yushalayim has a Kedushas HaMokim, which obviously Yushalayim does. It's a Mokim L'Sheivchar Hashem. Once that din is Chal on Yushalayim, I don't have to look in every single case, Bifnei Atzmoy, in each individual circumstance, am I eating Ma'aser Sheni in the circumstance in which the Ma'aser Sheni itself is located in a Kedushas HaMokim. That's not necessary. The Ma'aser Sheni has to be in the ear. Vaveisim Shoma has to be in the ear. There's a din in the ear of Yerushalayim that it has to have a Kedushas HaMokim, which that Lamaise Yerushalayim has a Kedushas HaMokim, and that was the Shittas Rivon. Mashen King Toises held that you have to have a Kedushas HaMokim on the Mokim of the Ma'aser Sheni itself in each individual case, and since over here the Ma'aser Sheni is physically outside Yerushalayim, therefore consequently you have no ability to eat the Ma'aser Sheni according to Toises in that Mokim. Later on in the Omud, the Gemara brings down, the Mishnah discusses, and the Gemara discusses the loisa say of kereach korcha beroishoi, which is to rip out the hair, to make a bald spot on the head, ala meis. And the Gemara brings in a drasha from the extra word korcha, that a person makes multiple korchas on the roish, his chayav al kol korcha the korcha. The Gemara says that actually, the truth is that this drasha with the extra word korcha is only found in the loisa say of korcha that's said by the kohenim, which is in Parshas Emor. I don't have a for it, for the law said by the law of Korcha by Yisrael, which is the Pashat Kedoshim, because we know that we actually have this law say repeated twice. It's in Emor in the parasha of the law says of Koyanim, and it's for general Klal Yisrael as a whole. It's also in Pashat Kedoshim, a separate pasuk in Emor in the Koyanim Dika at law say it mentions the extra word Korcha, which is telling you Chayav Kol Korcha v'Korcha. You don't have that benegia to the Yisroel Dika is the Lois HaSei of Korcha, which is found in Pasha Kedoshim, but no problem, the Gemara says, because I have a Gzeir Shove from one to the other. It says here Korcha, there Korcha, and therefore I learn out from one to the other. I learn out that Yechayah for each individual Korcha by Yisraelim as well. I also learn out the other Chiddush that brought down to the Gemara of Lechayah al Haroish Kebein Hu'enayim. In other words, that the Pasuk by Yisraelim only mentions Bein Einecha, between the eyes, and perhaps only that specific location is going to be the case, the location in which you're going to be Chayah on Korcha by Yisrael. But no, with by a kohen, it says Bereisham, and Amela. Therefore, I learn now from kohen to Yisroel the achayev on the entirety of the head. Rav Shmuel Zovsky over here points out that there is a very basic hakira, a basic conceptual question that needs to be asked about this kind of double loisa say that you have by kohenim, that you have by Yisraelim, one in Parshas Emor, one in Parshas Kedoshim, respectively. A basic question needs to be asked, which is actually already discussed by the Oruch HaNer Fanorot right over here in the Gemara, and then it is a question regarding the korcha iser, which is in Koyanim and Parshas Emor, Yisraelim, Parshas Kedoshim. Likewise, the din of Giluach Zokon, Pasukonim Lo Yigalechu, which is also twice, and it's in Emor for Koyanim, and it's in Kedoshim for Yisraelim. And the Aruch HaNer has a very basic shiloh. How do you look at that? Do I say that the one in Parshas Kedoshim ultimately is really addressed to Kol Yisrael, Yisraelim, and Koyanim, and the one in Emor is just a kind of reinforcer telling you that, well, it's very severe, Benegeat to Koyanim, but really, Be'etzim, ultimately, it's all one big lois, I say, it's all one big tzi. And ultimately, the Krah, the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, which is written Beklolos, and it doesn't specify Yisraelim, Kohenim, Leviim, and Shevet Levi, and Naphtali, doesn't say anything special. So that applies to all Yisrael, including the Kohenim, ultimately, and it's really all one Tzivoy. Or, the other way to look at it is to say that I have a Gilei HaKrah here, and a very remarkable thing, that actually the Pasuk splits up the Tzivoy. Everybody has this Tzivoy of not making the ball spout on a mace, and not Megaleach shaving the Zokon with a razor, which we'll talk the details another time. Everybody has them, but the one in Emor, the Tzivoy in Emor addresses the Kohenim, and the Tzivoy in Kedoshim specifically addresses Yisraelim and non-Kohenim, but does not address Kohenim. So the Aruch HaNer makes a couple of points. Number one, the Aruch HaNer says that in Rambam, Perikid Beis, Hilchos Avodah Zarah is Mavur, that regardless of whether one is a Yisrael or he's a Kohen, he only gets one Malkus for ripping a bald spot of Korcho into his head. Be'etzim Vart to Aruch HaNer, the Rambam is a very big Chiddush. I could have suggested that a Kohen is going to get two Lois HaSeis, two Malkus. One, because he's included in the general Klal Yisrael, in the general lois hasei of parshas kedoshim, and two, he has another additional extra lois hasei, the one in Ember, which is specific to Kohen. So maybe a Kohen should get two malkias for the double violation that he has incurred by ripping out a korcha, the general one plus a specific to Kohenim. Chulaneir says Rambam understood it. It's not like that, and he has a shtickle toyer, a bit of a pilpo, where he says that you find a parallel where the Rambam could have found a smach for that, a parallel b'negeah to the halacha of writing a sefer toyer, which be'etzem it says in Sanhedrin that every individual in Klal Yisrael is supposed to write a sefer toyer, and then it says that a melech, there's a special pasuk about a melech that he writes a sefer toyer. Well, does a melech have to have two sefer toyer? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says rather yes, that he does. But it only says it because it says a pasuk of Mishneh. Mishneh a Torah hazois, a double Torah. It's mashma in the Gemara that if not for the pasuk of Mishneh, I would not have said a Kohenim needs to have a second Torah, even though he's got a special pasuk about a Torah for him, which is distinct from the general Algemeiner pasuk that all Yisraelim have about writing a Sefer Torah. You see from there, Zokta Orchaneir, that I don't assume that just because someone who's special and especially designated a special tzivu for him, in addition over and above the tzivu of everybody else, I don't say that it's doubled and he's got a double tzivui. Like the melech, who would not have assumed that he's got a double tzivui, if not for the pasuk of Mishneh, that he has to have two tayers. Same thing here, Zot Orchaneir, the Rambam is right, and we don't assume that the Kohenim have a double tzivui, in this case, are not making a korcha, even though they have the extra lav. However, Zot Orchaneir, that just settles that it's not double. But we have to still ask the very basic question, are we going to say, ultimately, that the Kohen does not have the tzivui of Kedoshim and only has a tzivui of Emor? And he says, I'm a supik, a masupik lahalocha, what happens? You want to give the guy malchus, and the kohen is ripping out the hair, making a bald spot, and they gave the kohen hasroah. The edom warned him, but they warned him specifically based on the pasuk of loisasimu korcha and parshas kedoshim. You're in violation of loisasimu korcha. Will the kohen get the malchus? Perhaps you're going to say, zok to orchaneir, that the kohen won't get malchus because they didn't give him the right tzivoy. The hasroah wasn't given with the right tzivoy. They didn't mention the tzivoy parshas emer, which is the kohen that got tzivoy. They mentioned the one in kedoshim, which it could be the one in Kedoshim only applies to non-Kohenim, since the Kohenim are singled out and they're given the separate one in Parashas Emor. Or maybe not. Perhaps you could say, Zokta Orchaneir, that ultimately we're learning out that everyone is included in the one in Parashas Kedoshim, even though Kohenim don't have two different Lois HaSeis, the one in Emor is kind of a repeat of the one in Kedoshim for them, and the one in Kedoshim is algemein, ubiquitous, and it includes all Jewish people. The Orchaneir remarkably leaves this shiloh with a suffix, Akati Tzorchi, and that's how he ends up. He says originally he had it sad that you could really settle it, because you do find with regard to a somewhat similar context, which is the issue that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, a Kohen can't marry a Zayna, different women that are also to a Kohen, and the Pasuk in Parshas Emor mentions that a Kohen Gadol can't marry those women, and it repeats it. Isha, the Grusha, the Zayna, it's Halala, etc. It repeats the women that are also to a Kohen headed, it mentions it again and again to a Kohen Gadol, and it also adds Almana. So the Sefer HaChinuch of Mavur, Zokta Orchaneir, that the Kohen Gadol does not have a special, separate Lois HaSei for himself by Zoyna, Grusha, and Chalala, but rather he is included in the Kohen Hedyut's Isra of Grusha, Zoyna, and Chalala, and granted a special drosh as a Masechta Kedushin for why he repeats the Grusha, Zoyna, Chalala for the Kohen Gadol, but it's not because the Kohen Gadol has an independent Sivo and his own from a separate Pasik. And it's the Orchaneir says that that's Mavur in the Chinuch, and it's mashed like that in the Gemara Kedushin that the Orchaneir, that the Chinuch brings down to support his theory. And so over there you do find, by a somewhat similar scenario, the Kohen Gadol is a Kohen plus. That's what he is. He's a Kohen, but he's a Kohen plus. He's a Kohen Gadol. And we're going to say, apparently, that he's included in the general tzivoy that all Kohen had, that Kohen Hedyots have, that all Kohenim have, the tzivoy of Grusha, Zayna, and Chalala. Even though he's lifted out and has a special pasuk of his own, we don't say that he's extracted and taken out from the ubiquitous algamin etziva of Grusha and Halal of Kohen Hedyots. So maybe that's similar to here, Zokter. We also should not say that Kohenim are extracted and lifted out from the general ubiquitous tzivoy that all Yisraelim have in this case of not making a korcha on their heads. Maybe you could apply it and we'll say that the Kohenim are included in the tzivoy of Parshas Kedoshim the same way the Kohen Gadol is included in the tzivoy of Kohen Hedyot but they get to Grusha and Halal. However, the Orchaneir said it's really no raya and he brings in a Rashi in Kedushin Ayin Zayin that this is a special svara by a Kohen Gadol, that Rashi says over there, behedyoy tusoy nesra olav. That means to say that every Kohen Gadol started at a Kohen Hedyot. No Kohen Gadol is born a Kohen Gadol. It doesn't go like that. You start out a Kohen Hedyot. So therefore, since you started out a Kohen Hedyot, you started out by being included in the tzivoy, the general ubiquitous tzivoy of Kohenim Hedyotis in Grusha Zayne Chalala, and once you're already included in that tzivoy, so behedyoy tusoy nesra olav, and you're automatically going to roll over and continue to be included in that pasuk of Kohen Hedyot of Grusha Zayne Chalala, even after you become a Kohen Gadol. That's the svara that you have in a gear to a Kohen Hedyot that comes a Kohen Gadol, behedyoy tusoy nesra olav. Dr. Ochaner, but I'm still quite uncertain, benageya to the case of a Kohen as opposed to a Yisroel in the Yikruchu Korcha, which a Kohen doesn't start at a Yisroel and then become a Kohen. All Yisraelim are born Kohenim. So perhaps, therefore, I'm going to say that they have a distinct Pasuk for themselves, and if you give them Hasroel for the Yisroel, they get Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, maybe they won't get Malchus. The Ochaner leads with a Shiloh, and Shmuel Zosky writes that the Ochaner did not see an explicit Rambam, which is a little bit of a Bekius, an erudition Maramokim there, and an explicit Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvah Rambam, and Loisa say Kuf Ayin. Now, granted that Rambam is B'mitzloibim Koimoi, and Loisa say Kuf Ayin, the Rambam discusses the halacha that Shevet Levi is not allowed to get a chelik in the Biza, the spoils of war. When the Jews divide the spoils of war, Shevet Levi doesn't get a chelik. The Rambam over there discusses that we find this tzivoy in the Torah that the Shevet Levi shouldn't get a chelik in the Biza, and then we find the specific that the Kohenim are singled out as well, that Kohenim don't get a chelik in the Biza either. So we have to ask the question, says the Rambam. Maybe we should count it as two separate loisaseis, one loisasei for regular Levium, and the other that the Kohenim are apparently singled out from the Levium. They have independent loisasei of their own that they're not allowed to get a chelik in the Biza. Perhaps I should reckon and count it as two loisaseis in the count in the Minyan HaMitzvos. So the Rambam, no, I want to tell you a very big rule, and the rule is that since Kohenim are included, they're a subset of the general set of Shevet Levi. So therefore, the Torah just gave it additional tzivut to the Kohenim not to get a chelik in the Biza, lechazek ho'inyan, to mechazek it, to give it extra strength with regard to Kohenim. But really, the Rambam says the Torah did not mean to lift it out and remove it from the general tzivut that all of Shevet Levi cannot get a chelik in the Biza. The Rambam says it's actually a general rule. It doesn't just apply here to Kohenim not getting a chelik in the Biza. And another example of this, says the Rambam, and the Rambam gives at this point mamish the two examples that we just discussed. One thing Rambam discusses is, am I going to count independent loisa says for a Kohen Gadol and independently for a Kohen Hedyot that he's not allowed to take the different women that are also the Kohuna, the Zoyna, Grusha, Halala? Maybe it should be counted separately in the Minyan HaMitzvos. And the Rambam writes that if I would count it separately, I really would end up that every Kohen Gadol, for example, who lives with a Grusha, would end up with a double Malkus. Because he's not less than a Kohen Hedyot, we have the general ubiquitous Malkus of the Kohen Hedyot, and plus a separate loisa say for the Kohen Gadol, since mentioned in Parshas Emor separately that he can't take a Grusha, Zoyna, Halala. And I don't say that, says the Rambam, and he says it's clear in Halachas of the Rambam that Kohen Gadol does not get a separate set of Malkus, and the Rambam says that this Yisoid, that the extra tzivoy that's given to the Kohen Gadol is really lechazek ha'inyan, but in fact it's not intended to lift a man and give him a special tzivoy, he's just part of the general set of Kohenim who are also in these Grusha Zayna Chalola. Likewise, says the Rambam, mizeho inyan ba'atzmoid, mizeho min ba'atzmoid, exactly the same idea, says the Rambam, with regard to the Pasuk in Chumash and Emor about the Kohenim, shehizer ha'Kohenim, lo'yikuchu korcha b'roisham, ufa'asakona lo'yigalecho, b'saron li'yisus d'zorotes. All these tzivoyim that are mentioned in Parashas Emor for the Kohenim are really already mentioned in Parashas Kedoshim in a ubiquitous general manner for Kol Yisroel. So the Rambam says, are you going to say that the Kohenim's tzivoy is independent of the Yisraelim's and gets counted independently in the Minyan HaMitzvah of the Tayag? No, Zokter Rambam, it's definitely not like that. And in fact, Zokter Rambam, what you have is drashois that are based upon special nuances in the Pasuk and Emor and nuances in Kedoshim. I learn one to the other, like I have Besoif Makois, the Rambam says, at the end of Masechta Makois. But really, Zokter, it's all one big tzivoy, one big loisasei, and everyone's included loisev kedoshim, and the one in Emor is just lechazek ha'inyan, and consequently it definitely is not considered to be independent psukim of independent tzivoy. And the Rambam says it very clearly, and Shmuel Ozovsky says that you see clearly that the Oruch Lanei Shaila is not a Shaila, it's resolved explicitly by the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam says that really Kohenim are included in the Pasuk and kedoshim, and if not, the Rambam is mevori, he would have had to count separately this loisasei, a separate tzivoy for the Kohenim and separate for the Yisraelim in the Minyan of the Taryag, which Rambam makes it absolutely clear that we do not do that. The Rishon goes on and he says that it could possibly be argued that this Yisoy that we find here in the Rambam might have ramifications when they get to the very big Hasoga, the very big Kasha, that the Shara Melech asks on the Sefer Divrei Emes. The Shara Melech in the Chazim V'Chalitza brings down from the Divrei Emes, that's the very big Svardi Godel of Divrei Emes. The Divrei Emes writes that although the Gemara indicates in Bav Metzia that the claim of a special assay called Kedoshim Yiyu Leiloi Kehem, and this assay of Kedoshim Yiyu is applicable to the special Mitzvois Kahu, and they have to adhere to the special mitzvahs that have been placed upon the Kohanim. If they don't, they're in violation of the Asei Kedoshim Yiyu. The Divrei Emes says that it looks to him that the Rambam Yad does not paskin this Gemara and doesn't hold that an independent mitzvah Asei called Kedoshim Yiyu. And he says that it seems to him specifically that the Rambam may have actually had a mocker for this from a sugya in Yevamis, where it's mashma, the way he understands the sugya, it's mashma in the Gemara that the Isra of Taglachas Kohanim, which the Pasuk mentions, that Zakonim Lo Yigalechu is a special Pasuk in Parashas Emor, and the Gemara discusses it, b'negeh to Koyanim, the Koyanim to Megalech, the Pasa Zalkon, the payas of the beard, and the Gemara over there is Meduyik, that is only a Lois Asay. Well, why? Isn't it an Asay as well? Because it has Kedoshim Yiyu as well, and it has an Asay. So therefore, he said the Rambam may have actually felt that there's a Machloik as a Sugis, and the Rambam is going to pass on the Halacha that there is no special Asay called Kedoshim Yiyu. The Shara Melech is massing very strongly on the Divrei Emes, and he says that he didn't notice an explicit Rambam in the Yad, the Rambam says mamash black on white that benegeya to a koyhein becoming tomei lemesim, and the shaila benegeya to whether he should return the aveda, if returning it would involve going to the cemetery and become tomei lemesim, so do you return the aveda? And the Rambam explicitly mentions what the Gemara says in Bav Metzia, that the koyhein would be in violation of an asay kedoshim yiyu if he would go to the cemetery to return the aveda. The Rambam explicitly brings down this kedoshim yiyu, this asay on koyhein, which the Divrei Emes says is not brought in the Rambam. It is explicitly is brought in the Rambam in Hukzel of Aveda when they get to Tumas Koyanim to coming Tomei. And the Shara Melech is that if so, it's absolutely clear that the same way the Rambam is going to say that, and he does say when they get to Tumas Koyanim, he would also say when they get to the Loisa say of Giluach Zokon, that the Koyan has a special tzivah not to Megalech, to Pa'as the Konoi, like you have in Parshas Emor, and the Koyan violates that, he surely is in violation of Kedoshim Yiyu as well. Zokter Shmuel Lozovsky, the Tainach Zokter, Vada the Shara Melech is right about Tumas Koyanim, that the Rambam is bringing down, the Shara Melech is correct, the Rambam brings that if your Koyan violates the Issa Tumah, he's over on Kedoshim Yiyu. But Zokter, Vif Ulben again to the Issa of Tumas Koyanim, which has no parallel in Yisraelim and really is unique to Koyanim. Only a Koyan can't be Tumah Lameis. A Yisrael could be Tumah Lameis. So that's a classic example of where Kedoshim Yiyu Lekayim would apply. Mashain came the Issa of Giluach Pa'as HaZokon, which although there's a special pasuk for it in Emor, is also a ubiquitous, universal pasuk for it in Parshas Kedoshim. And we said already from the Sefer Mitzvah Rambam that really it's all one din. It isn't two independent dinim. It's one ubiquitous din, Yisraelim and Kohenim, and it's all there in Parshas Kedoshim, a ubiquitous kloliastic pasuk. Grad alachazak, and we repeat it again in Parshas Emor for the Kohenim. It's Zok Shmuel Vazovsky that of a veer ben egeya to Giluach Zok, and the Divrei Emes could really still be right. There you could argue that since this Isra Giluach Pa'as HaZokon is not unique to Kohanim, it happens to be repeated again for the Kohanim, it can be more severe for the Kohanim, but it's not unique to Kohanim, and therefore you really could argue that over there I'll say that the Kedoshim Yiyu L'Kohanim will not apply if the Kohen will be over on Giluach Pa'as HaZokon, because that's really a kloliastic, a universal, at least I say that everyone's got, and not unique to Kohanim, even if it happens to be emphasized and repeated a second time in Parshas Emor. So the Shara Melech's extra extrapolation that the Divrei Emes was incorrect when it got to Giluach Zokon as well, and that too would incur a violation of Kedoshim Yiyu for Kohanim ben Galech, that really you don't see, and you can make the argument that you won't be in violation of Kedoshim Yiyu if you're in Galech the Pa'as HaZokon. Later on the daf, the Gemara brings down Benegeya to actually two separate lois assays. One is the Isra that we said to speak of making a korcha in the Roish, a bald spot of the Roish over a mace. Later on in the sugya, in the end of the Omad, the end of the daf, the Gemara brings in a seret l'nefesh, not to make an incision in the skin in one's suffering over a mace. You're not allowed to make a cut in the skin. And in both of them, the Gemara brings special drashos that you mechayev on korcha v'korcha, or likewise you mechayev on kol srita v'srita. So you make multiple korchas or multiple cuts. You're going to get independent, separate malchios. The Gemara brings down, when you get to the korcha scenario, that the case is that the person was soch chomesh et po'os of nasha v'yifinu b'vas achas da havalei asro al kol choda v'choda. The Rivan over there explains as follows. The Rivan says that the scenario was that the person placed some sort of a herb which is a depilatory upon his skin, upon his fingers, and he runs them over in five places at once with his five fingers over five areas of the scalp, and he makes the five different karchas all at once, and they gave him one hasroah, and bavas achas, simultaneously he violated the hasroah with five different karchas, and the halacha is that you're going to be over in your five separate malkiyos. Each one of them, says the Rivan, was done immediately following the hasroah, la'alter, immediately after the hasroah, because he had five simultaneous karachas that were done immediately after the hasroah. The Rivan is mashman, they would talk the achrayin and make the diyuk, but that's actually the only way that the person is going to be in violation of one hasroah and be able to get multiple malkiyos. Normally you do one hasroah, you get one malkus. Let's say you get a person would make five karachas in his skin, one after another, after another, after another, having followed up all after one single hasroah at the beginning, you only get one malkus. However, since there was five separate acts that were done simultaneously, the altar responds to this one hasroah, so they all respond to the hasroah and you get five malkus. Taisus, however, over here, in the long Taisus, argues on the Rivan, and Taisus says that he feels that the Gemara is lavdafka, and who adin, the Gemara could have given a different case, which is what, says Taisus. The other case would have been that they warned him one hasroah at the beginning of the making of the karchas, and he follows up that warning with one immediate violation of one karcha, and then a bunch of other follow-up violations of more karchas, bazeh, hazeh, consecutively, one after the other. And Tosfos Shita is that also suffices, since the very first one was done an immediate follow-up to the hasroah, that suffices to mechayev you multiple malkiyos because of the multiple karchas. Now, the Keren Oira in Masechta Nazir discusses this machlokes in the Rivan and Tosfos over here in Makis, and he writes that everything hinges upon one very mechudesh thick Yerushalmi that's found in Masechta Nazir. Now, Tosfos doesn't bring the Yerushalmi, but the Keren Oira says that conceptually speaking, everything depends on whether you hold of a Yerushalmi's Yesoid. The Yerushalmi has a very remarkable and interesting Yesoid, Benegeya, to someone who's holding a very, very big kois of wine, and he's a Nazir, and of course he's not allowed to drink the wine, and they gave him a Hasroah that you should know, they said to him, that if you're going to imtishta eskulo, if you drink the whole thing, yesh bo asora kezeisen, there's 10 kezeisen there, v'teskayev asora malkias, and you be chayev 10 malkias, he's mekabel Hasroah b'das hazois, at the Lashon Yerushalmi, and if he drinks it, he gets 10 separate malkiyos, the 10 separate violations. I say, normally I say that hasroyos machalkois means that if I divide up the act, he's drinking wine, he's a nazir, he drinks a quantity of wine, and then they give him another hasroah. Drinks more, another hasroah. Drinks more, another hasroah. That's hasroyos machalkois and divides up the act into multiple different violations and multiple malkiyos. The Yerushalmi, however, has a very big chiddush. The Yerushalmi says you don't have to divide it up actively with an independent hasroah each time. You could speak out a kloliastika umbrella expression at the beginning. There's 10 kazeisim in there, and there's going to be 10 responses, 10 onshim, malkiyos, if you're going to violate it, and that's going to be enough to, has to say asroyos machalkois and divide it up, and that's the Yerushalmi Yisoid. Of them zat the Kerenoira, fine, but do we pass them like the Yerushalmi? That, he says, is not so clear. Bemis the Raman, the Perish Mishnayis, over here in Makkos, he brings down, in the Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, in the third Perek of Makkos, Benegeir to Nozit, it was Shoysa Kolayayim, etc. This is a Mishnah on Chof Aleph Amid Aleph. And that Mishnah that says over there that if he's drinking wine the whole day, he gets one malchus. However, if they tell him, al tishta, and he's shaysa, in other words, pashtus means each and every time they tell him, okay, don't drink that, and they keep interrupting him every minute, don't drink this and don't drink that, and then he's going to be chayav multiple malkiyos. But the Rambam and the Perish Mishnayos and the Bar Tanura, Zok the Keren Oira, both bring down the Yerushalmi right over there in the Mishnah, and they're matik this thing lahalacha. They bring down the Perish Mishnayos that Yerushalmi is apparently applicable to Dina, and if they give him the one warning at the beginning that you're going to get multiple violations, multiple kazesim, that's enough to divide it up. However, Zok of them, the Keren Oira, that is, he feels that it's very stark meduyik that in the Yad the Rambam was choizer boy, and the Rambam just brings in al tishta, he does not bring down the Yerushalmi. So it's mashma to me is that the Keren Oira and the Yad the Rambam decided that the Bavli is not meduyik like the Yerushalmi. He's mafapal on this, and the Rambam doesn't pass in the Yerushalmi in the Yad and holds that you have to actively split it with active separate hasroes being mechalik. So it's a shayla the Rambam the Perish Mishnayis, the Rambam the Yad, if we hold like this Yerushalmi, and the Keren Oira says that same shayla underlying lies the machlekes the Rivan and Taisali here. The Rivan held that we don't hold like this Yerushalmi, and therefore, just because I have one Hasra, even the Seist, if I would speak out in the Hasra, that there could be multiple punishments if you're going to do multiple acts and follow up to this Hasra, that's the Yerushalmi's din, it will be insufficient, according to Rivan, to mechayev you multiple malchus because we don't hold like the Yerushalmi. Taisis does hold like the Yerushalmi, and therefore Taisis holds we could have one Hasra at the beginning, and the way the Karen Error learns of the Taisis, although it's not Mavur in Taisis, he's learning that the case was that they told him that you would be liable to multiple malchus if you do multiple acts. They told him that at the beginning, and that its turn would be sufficient to divide up the acts and get you the multiple malchus. I thought I mentioned an interesting thing, and that is that if you look around in the Achroinim, you see that there are two different conceptual understandings in the Achroinim of what is the Shiloh, the fundamental question of whether the Yerushalmi is right or not. What's the underlying issue in Svara that determines whether I go with this Yerushalmi's concept, that a single Hasra, which mentions the multiple Onshim, is sufficient to divide it up. The Shitta of the Divrei Emes, we mentioned him before, one of the Gedolei HaSfaradim, and the Divrei Emes writes that the central question that underpins this Yerushalmi is the Shaila that Be'etzem, normally if a person only gets one Hasra and he follows it up with a bunch of consecutive violations, he could taina that I was unaware of the fact that it's possible to follow up one Hasra and multiple violations and get multiple Onshim. I was unaware of that. I was only makabel upon myself the notion that I'm violating the Hasra in terms of getting the one Oynish. I was unaware of the notion that you can get multiple Malkias. That's why the Yerushalmi is saying that you give the Hasra, that the Hasra speaks at Beferish that there are 10 Kazesim which could be followed up with 10 Malkias, and they spoke that at Beferish. So thereby, they deprive him of the ability to say later on that he was unaware of the notion of multiple Unshim based upon the one Hasra, and that's the Yesoid, the after the achievement of the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi is speaking out that if you tell him at the beginning about the multiple Unshim, according to the Devi Emes, the idea is I deprive him of the ability to say later I was unaware that multiple violations of a single Hasra could get me multiple Onshim. According, however, to the Devi Yecheskel, the Devi Yecheskel doesn't explain the Yerushalmi on these terms at all. The Devi Yecheskel says it's a straightforward question about Hasroif Machalkois. Normally, says the Devi Yecheskel, we have a Yesoid that if a person, for example, he's a Nazir like the Mishnah later and he's drinking wine a whole day long, that's considered to be one act of a violation, even if it has multiple Kazesim and he is a drinking a lot of wine, makes no difference. It's one hemshech of a single act, and therefore it gets you to one malchus. If, however, they told him al tishta repeatedly in between, so the asrois, amachalkois, the asrois serve to divide it up into independent acts, not just one single hemshech, a continuity of an act, and that's why it's considered to be multiple acts of alois hasay, and you get multiple malchus. Hasrois, machalkois. Zokta devi chesko, the fundamental question of this Yerushalmi is whether I could say asrois, machalkois, where I didn't break up the act in between the act itself by telling you each time repeatedly, okay, this next thing will get you of Malkus, and this next thing will get you Malkus. I didn't address each one independently. I just said a cloistic umbrella expression at the beginning that, in general, the multiple violations, the multiple acts you're going to be doing will incur to you multiple Malkus. Is that enough to apply the Yesoid of Hasrois Machalkos, and therefore that divides them into independent acts? Or do I say it's insufficient, and only the actual active dividing up the act b'shas Maisa with the Hasrois being interrupting the Maisa on an ongoing basis enough to say Hasrois Machalkois, the Yecheskel holds that that's the question that underlies the Shiloh of whether I paskin like the Yerushalmi or not. One final and important discussion. The Gemara near the bottom of the base brings down, when they get to the Lois HaSei, of Lois HaKifu Pa'as Roishem, which is to say that you're not allowed to shave off the Payas HaRoish. And the Gemara says that Lois HaKifu, we say, Echad HaMakif VeEchad HaNikif Loike. That's a braisa that they taught in front of Avchista. Echad HaMakif, that means the person is doing the act of being Makif, and the recipient of the act who's getting shaved, VeEchad HaNikif, they both get Malkus. Avchista said, why? The guy who's getting shaved is just a recipient of the act and not doing anything. Why should he get the Malkus? It sounds like you're going like Rabbi Yehuda, that lav shein b'maisa loiken olav, that even though he's passive, Rabbi Yehuda's shita in general is that you get a Malkus even if it was a passive violation without doing a maisa. However, the Gemara comes up with two responses to this. Rava says the case was that he was makaf la'atzmai v'divri ha'koil. In other words, that the person was actually shaving himself, and he gets two different sets of Malkus for shaving himself, because at the one at the same time, he's serving as the makaf and he's serving as the nikif. And since he's actively doing the action which makes him renders in the makif and renders in the nikif, so therefore they're both with an action, and therefore you don't have to say it's Rav Yehuda, or Rav Ashi, who is brought down a halacha in the Rambam and the Poskim, Rav Ashi says the Meseyeya v'divrei hakol. The Rav Ashi says that we are talking about that the recipient, the one who's being shaved, was actively being Messiah. That means he tilts his face in the direction, he tilts his head in the direction of the razor, the individual shaving him, and that Messiah suffices that we consider that he's called, that he did a Maisa, and therefore, consequently, the Nikiv is going to get Malkus. This is a very big Yisoid, the sticky Gemara. Now, the Ritva over here says a big Yisoid, and he says that this is the Yisoid is the correct understanding of the Sugya. What the Ritva says is that it's absolutely clear to everyone and to all the man, the Arum in this Gemara, that loisakifu, which is Beloshin Rabim, loisakifu contains in it a double connotation, one echad lemakif and two one lenikif. In other words, that regardless of the question of whether you're going to get malchus, which is a question of whether you did a maisa or your whole lav shein b'maisa loikin, forget the malchus, Dr. Itzva. Was there a loisase violation? Maybe passive, but was it a loisase violation? Dr. Itzva, it's absolutely clear to everyone in this sugya that there was a loisase violation to be a nikif. Because the Peret Torah says that Beloshin Rabim, loisakifu, there is a loisase violation in being a nikif. The only shaila that underpins the different days in this Gemara is what it takes to have called it Yedidah Maisa, so you'll get Malkus for being a Nikif, or I go like Rabbi Yehuda, and I could get Malkus for being a Nikif even without a Maisa. But the fundamental issue that you're in violation of a Loisaseh is 100% true, that it's all, even without doing a Maisa. The Yitzvo even uses this Yisoid in order to answer a Kasha that Rishonim asked, which is a Stira, Benegeh to the Din of Messiah. Yitzvo brings down the Stira, it's a Stira that the Poskim ask as well, and our Gemara is Mavur, the Messiah is a choshava act, and it's considered as doing a maisa. You tilt your head in the direction of the razor, and that's enough that you're Messiah. It's called a maisa, and therefore you get malchus. The Rishonim ask, Yitzvo asks the Kasha, in the Sugya in Masechta Beya, the Gemara says a Messiah ain't by mamish. Over there it's talking about someone who's receiving a refuah on a particular eye medication, and over there it says that if he's getting the eye medication on Yonder from a coin, and the only part that the Yid plays a role is that he blinks his eyes a lot so that it assists the eye medication in penetrating the eye. So the Gemara says a svar over there, and Messiah ain't b'mamish. The act was done by the goy, all the Yid was Messiah, it's just an assist, and it's ain't b'mamish, insignificant. Why, Frechter Yitzvah? Over here in our Gemara, it's before Messiah is choshev. So you're tilting your head, why over there Messiah ain't b'mamish? It's not the Ritvah says it could be that this act of tilting the head is more choshev than blinking the eyes, because blinking the eye is a natural activity a person does all the time. Anyway, that's one possible answer. But the Ritva says, according to me, there's a very fundamental answer, and that is that over there, the question is whether he's doing any Isser at all. Because the Isser of Refuah B'Yontif, to getting a Refuah on Yontif, that Isser may be inapplicable at all. The person is not even doing the act. He's the Yisrael, just the recipient of the act, and therefore, consequently, he may not be doing any Isser at all. Then we'll say, Messiah is not a Mamish. But over here, we know he's doing an Aveira in the first place, even without any action, because he's a Nikif. And the Torah says Echad Makif Echad Nikif. So therefore, Lois say for sure you have. Even if you don't do, instead of doing an action, you're going to have the Lois say. The only Shaila Zokti Ritva in our Gemara is whether you consider to be doing a Lois say with a Maisa or Lois say without. If all that's the whole Shaila, but we know as a given that you're doing the Lois say anyway, for that it's sufficient to have even a small act of a Messiah to tip the scale, and you're considered to have done a Lois say with a Maisa. Since in our Gemara, in any event, we know for sure it's Bora that you're doing a Lois say even without the Maisa. Because even a passive violation of being a nikif is in a violation of the lois hasei, the special lois hasei of being a nikif. That's the mitzvah. Now this brings us to the very big tumult in the Achroinim, when they get to properly understanding the Shitas HaRambam in this sugya. To know this, you need to just briefly mention two different Rambams, where the Rambam is a little cryptic, and you need to understand what the Ravid is doing in commenting and critiquing the Rambam in each case. One Rambam is in the beginning, the Minyan HaMitzvahs in the beginning of the Yad, where you know that the Rambam starts the Yad with an enumeration of the 613 Mitzvahs, and the Minyan HaMitzvahs in the beginning of the Yad, the Rambam says in Lois HaSeimim Gimel, Shaloi LaHakif Pa'as HaRoish, etc., etc., that you shouldn't shave off the sideburns, the Medin Makif, to go around, to make a round like a bowl-like shape and go over the Hakav Pa'as HaRoish. And the Ravid says on that, Omar Avram, Lav LaMakif, Lav LaNikif, that's the primary, the Shan LaGirsa, but that's the primary Girsa, Lav LaMakif, Lav LaNikif, etc., etc., Lav LaMashchis, Lav LaNishchas. So the Ravid ends over there that there's a Loisefer HaMakif and the Loisefer HaNikif. And over there, the Meforshim ask, is there some significance to this Ravid's Hasoga? Is there some reason why the Ram is not going to hold of this din. It's mavur and now gemara the din. One makif and one nikif. Because the Mishnah says over there, he doesn't know why the rabbi get into it. The rabbi, you look in the rabbi the yag. When he gets into hilchos avodah zarah, he'll discuss the dinim. He'll discuss the halachas of nikif. Why did the rabbi even bother getting into over here to a hasog on the Rambam and mention there's a lav on the makif and a lav on the nikif? And then leads to a question as to whether the rabbi understood that the rabbi didn't have any lois, I say, on the nikif at all, on the recipient of the shaving. And the rabbi only mentions a little hankif. You know, that you can't do the active shaving. And the rabbi says, no, I say echad l'makif, echad l'nikif. However, of course, that's fair. And the Rambam, what's he going to do with our Gemara? You know, the Gemara does say in our Gemara that the nikif, the recipient of the shave, does get a lois say as well. Moreover, in the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perikid Beis, when he brings down our Gemara l'halacha, he certainly does seem to have a lois say for the nikif as well. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perikid Beis that the person who does the act of the shaving of the peyos haroish is going to be in violation of lois say. He'll get a malchus. Zok the Rambam, but the recipient of the shave, avalo ish hames galech, the recipient of the shave, ain't a loika, doesn't get malchus. El im kain, ca ala megalech, unless he assisted him by tilting his head. So therefore, then you're going to get the malchus, and otherwise you won't. The Ravid over there again comments on the Rambam, and the Ravid says, Omer Avrom, that afal pisha ain't a loika, even if he doesn't actively assist by tilting the head, he doesn't get the malchus. Kivan shemi daitoy also over belav. Since he actively participated in the sense that passively participated, he actively allowed himself to get shaved, he passively allowed himself to get shaved, he sat there, so you definitely get a loisa, says the Raivin, even though you're not going to get a malchus unless you are going to actively participate and be mesayeh. Now this Raivin, of course, is perfectly muvon. It's exactly the same thing that the Ritvot says in our Gemara, and it's the Pashtas HaSugya, right? The Gemara is mavur like that. The Gemara says if you hold a Rabbi Yehuda, then if you hold lav she'en b'maisa loikan olav, you're going to get malchus even for a passive participation. You don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the Ritvot says that you don't get malchus, but there surely is a lav, and that's what the Ravid says. But here again, is there some hasoga that the Ravid is being masig on the Rambam? Is there some indication that the Rambam disagreed with this point? And in fact, the Noida Yehuda writes that the Rambam is mashma, he disagreed. Because the Rambam usually, when it gets into a lav she'en b'maisa, the Rambam always speaks out. If you do this and this thing passively, you're in violation of the loisa say, but you don't get malchus. For example, a person leaves chometz in his rishus on Pesach, passively leaves in his rishus. The Rambam says that you're going to get a loisa say. You don't get malchus because when they buy maisa, unless you actively buy the chometz, but the Rambam certainly mentions it's a loisa say. Over here, however, says the Neidah Yehuda, the Rambam does not mention that there is a violation of a loisa say. All the Rambam says is that if you actively assist, then you're going to get malchus if you are mesayaya. The Rambam does not mention, and there is a loisa say anyway, in all events, because of lav she'en b'maisa, it would be ein b'maisa, but it's surely a loisa say, which is the mashmoy say Gemara. The Rambam leaves it out totally, says the Noida B'Yehuda, and that's not the derech haram to leave it out, like you find by chometz and other places. He mentions lav she'en b'maisa, he mentions that there are loisa say, and he doesn't do that here. So it does appear, says the Noida B'Yehuda, that the Rambam and the Rava disagree. What do they disagree about? Well, says the Noida B'Yehuda, there's actually some support here for a very big chiddush in the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah writes right here in Perikin Beis Hofer the Zohar. The Rambam's opinion was that you're only over the lois hasei of nikif if you actively assist, and if you don't actively assist, there isn't even a lois hasei violation at all in the opinion of the Rambam. As always, stating Kesef Mishnah, Neid Behuda is Meirich to explain that even though the Gemara is not mashma like that, because certainly at the beginning of the Sugya, the Gemara says very clearly that if you hold a Rabbi Yehuda, lav she'en b'maisa eloikin olav, then you're going to be in violation and you get malchus even for passive participation in the shaving. However, the Neid Yehuda comes out and he explains a pilpul why this would be, that the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam learned that in the Maskana of the Gemara, once the Gemara is oimed in the Maskana by Mesayeya, the Gemara brings in Rav Ashi, Mesayeya of a Divrei HaKoel, that the Gemara at that point is now realizing that the Loisase of Nikif is actually comparable to Loisase of Makif in the sense that what? That it's only with a Maisa will you have the Loisase. Without a Maisa, there's no Loisase. It's not doimed the Chometz. We're leaving the Chometz in your house is a Loisase, just no Malkus, unless you buy it. Here, the Rambam Shita is, in the book, based on the last side of the Gemara Rav Ashi, Mesayeya of a Divrei HaKoel, that the Rambam is coming out that only if you actively tilt your head, then you're a lois hasei of nikif. If not, then you did nothing. You stood there like a klotz, like a piece of holz or something, a wood, and therefore you're not even being violation of lois hasei of nikif at all. And the Rambam is connected to Raivid on this point, because the Raivid held that you're always in violation of nikif, just without a maisa, and if you do with a maisa by tilting your head, then you're going to get malchus. That's the Neid Yehuda. The Malbim, however, in Parshas Kedoshim, takes this much, much further, and he says a very, very far-reaching chiddush in the Das HaRambam, which the truth is it could be very meduyik, this Malbim, in the Rambam, the Minhag HaMitzvos, although he doesn't mention it specifically. The Malbim claims that the Rambam went much beyond that which we saw in the Nevi Yehuda, and the Rambam understood that when the Gemara says, Echra Makif, Echra Nikif, are both loike, the Rambam understood that in the Maskonas HaGemara, where the Gemara brings in Rav Ashi, that when you're going to get Malkus is where the Nikif actively, the recipient of the shave, actively participated by tilting his head. You know what, took the Malbim? The Rambam held that the Maskonas HaGemara, there are no two separate loisa says. There's no loisa kifu with a double expression like the Ritva says, and Makif and Nikif independently. There's only one loisa say of being a shaver, a Makif. However, the Rambam was Mechadish, and he understood that the Gemara is being Mechadish, Rav Ashi being Mechadish, that the Mesayaya is in violation of being a makif, because even though he's not actively placing the shaver against the head, he's being makar of the head to the shaver. That's also called being a makif. Dr. Malbim, the Rambam learned up that the earlier man da'om in the Gemara, the Moshe Rava, who says that if you makif yourself, you get two malkiyos, the earlier man da'om in the Gemara learned kipshutai, that there's an independent lois hasef a makif, an independent lois hasef a nikif, and that's why the Moshe according to Rava, you shave yourself, you get two malkiyos. The Rambam learned up that Rav Ashi is choylik on that piyasoidoi, and he held the din of echad a makif, echad a nikif means that the giver of the shave and the recipient of the shave could both be all to be in violation of makif, not of nikif. Makif alone. And because if you are Messiah and you tilt your head in the direction of the shaver, you have a shem makif that's chal on you. Echad a makif, echad a nikif means that sometimes the nikif can be in violation of the lois essay of makif. And the Rambam held the lafiha emes, there is no independent isser on nikif at all. Only if you actively tilt your head, then you won't get nikif. There is no nikif. You're going to get makif because you brought your head close to the shaver. And be'emes, the Malbim Shita, as we said, is actually very meduyik in the machloikas Rambam Raivin in the Minyan HaMitzvos. And there you see, the Rambam says, it's of to be makif, and the Raivin says, I say, Omar Avram, echara makif, echara nikif. And we said before, the Meforshim ask, what's the machloikas? Doesn't everybody agree that at some level, in some cases, there's a scenario in which nikif is a violation as well? According to the Malbim, it's actually very meduyik. The Shita of Rambam is that according to the Maskana of our Gemara, there is only a lois hasef a makif. It happens to be that if you misayaya and bring your head to the shaver, you also a makif, but ultimately only people who are labelable, they could be labeled as a makif, only they are in violation of the lois hasef. That's why the Rambam says lahakif. Of them that derive it, I don't learn the Gemara like you. I hold that even Maskana of the Gemara, there's two independent isurim that are in this lav. It's rechen, that's one of the minion, but it contains two isurim, lois hakif, one of the makif and one of the nikif. And that's like the Ravid himself also, Paskin, also says in the Hasogas to the Yad, that even if you're totally passive, you're in violation of being a nikif, it is independent of the lois essay of being a makif. According to the Malbim, the Rambam Bikolvakol argues on this Ravid Biasoidoi, which is Meduik in the Minyan, in the Machloikas in the Minyan and Mitzvahs, and the Rambam held the Fiha Emes, there's only a lois essay a makif, but we broadened the Isser Makif to include the recipient of the shave if he's Mesayaya and actively brings his head close to the shaver.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Myra McClaymus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.